It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. It's good to be with you, but there are not a lot of good things happening in the news. Well, there are some good things coming from the Trump administration that'll be painted as bad, but I guess the worst news is that horrific flood in Texas where children and camp counselors have been wiped out. My friend Jim Barrier lives in Texas, San Antonio. That was close to the heart of it. I did contact him right away when I heard the news, found out that he was okay. I was very glad to hear that. He'll be telling us a little bit more about the flood from the perspective of a Texan. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Well, thanks, Bob. And yeah, it's a little solemn right now, and we're not through the whole thing. In fact, it started raining again.
Yeah, it started raining again today.
So it's been tough. So I'll give you a little recap as we're going through here of how this all happened. It happened so fast, and then the aftermath and the ongoing efforts to try to bring relief. But you know, whenever these kind of things happen, and you know, you guys have had fires out there in California, and of course we've had hurricanes and all kinds of things. Disasters are just something that happens, and I often hear people say, well, how could God allow this to happen? We heard that immediately. Those little girls that were victims that died in the flood, if God was a loving God, how could he allow that? These were Christian kids at a Christian camp, and how could God allow that? And I know you get questions like that a lot in dealing in the field of apologetics. It's one of the first things people want to, they want to question the goodness of God and then his existence because of tragedies like this. And I think the first thing that I have to say is God did not cause this to happen. Calamities, disasters, the chaos that has been running rampant on this planet for a long, long time, ultimately could be traced back to the original sin of mankind and the brokenness of humanity and our inability or at least reluctance to take care of the things we're supposed to be stewards of. So this was not something that you could blame God for. And the truth is, as tragic as this is, thousands of people die every day in accidents and various things, and we don't even seem to think about that. But when it's something that happens in a concerted area to a small group of people like this, it kind of shocks us and shakes us up. But I would stand firm and say, you know, this was not something you can blame God for. This is not a perfect world. The world is a mess. And I will tell you that God is doing everything he can to help people and to protect people. And the scripture also says this, because I've heard a lot of questions because of the Christian camp that was so tragically affected. How could God allow this to happen to innocent children, to Christian people? And the scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So when these calamities happen, unfortunately, it touches everybody, believers and unbelievers. So I just wanted to address that right up front. And what thoughts do you have when people ask questions like that, Bob?
Well, the moment somebody says this is wrong, why did God allow it? They're admitting that there's such a thing as right and wrong, and there could be no right or wrong if there were no God. If there were no God, then the universe would be running according to randomness and chaos. And when something happens, it just happens. The very fact that we have feelings about it reveals that we do believe in order to the universe, that we don't think we're here by accident. Now, that still begs the question, well, why did God allow it? And in the scriptures, we have some explanations about why he allows things. And one of them is that we turned against him as a species and we turned into sin. But of course, when you're talking about babies and innocent little children, it's a much harder question. The Bible does teach that people who die, who are belonging to God, will go to heaven and be with him. And any little kid or baby, whether they're Christian or not, will go to heaven and they belong to God. Now, people might say, oh, well, that old cop-out answer. What a cop-out. Okay, well, if you don't really believe in heaven, then why are you even asking questions about God at all? In other words, if you're going to go to the Bible and say, well, when the Bible says that God allows suffering, I don't like that part. When you say, yeah, but the Bible also says that those who suffer and die go to heaven. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you can't pick and choose. When somebody says, why does the biblical God allow this? They're saying, without maybe putting it into words, hypothetically speaking, assuming the Bible is the word of God, why is God allowing this to happen? So our answer is, well, assuming that this is the word of God, these people are now in heaven. And then they can't say, oh, well, I don't believe those passages. Okay, well, then why do you believe the passages which say, like you just quoted, that God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust? So that's where I would begin. I don't mean to make it sound like a simplistic thing. It's not. It's
very complex.
But that's where I would begin.
And it doesn't ease the pain of the families who have lost children and loved ones.
No, of course not, and it never will.
Yeah, and you know what? That brought up another point in my mind. When you start asking questions like that, you are acknowledging that you believe in the worth and value of human life.
Exactly, and there could be no worth or value in human life if we're here by randomness and chance.
Yeah.
Belief
and
value is belief. People are betraying the fact that deep inside they secretly believe in God.
Yeah. So that's just some of the generalities that every time we have something like this, the people start their banter about these things. And ultimately, I think they're looking for a way to get out of accountability to the Creator.
Possibly. I must say, I find those questions more sympathetic than the people that try to politicize it and say, oh, well, if Trump wasn't responsible for global warming, this wouldn't happen. Or if it wasn't for Doge, this wouldn't happen. There were no Doge cuts that had anything to do with the Weather Service nationally or in Texas during this time. Sometimes things just happen. And we have had worse floods throughout our history hundreds of years ago, long before global warming was invented.
Yeah. And immediately I heard people taking pot shots at Trump. You know what? They actually, prior to the deluge, stepped up, they increased the amount of people because they saw weather patterns and they saw there's a potential here. So if anything, they increased their efforts.
There was an increase in personnel, but sometimes things just happen. By the way, Jim, speaking of that, now I heard this on the news. I only heard it once, and I hope I heard it wrong, but it was supposed to have taken place in Texas. So maybe you could tell me. I heard that a liberal woman doctor in Texas said, well, this was what the Trump supporters voted for, so they got what they voted for. And she was literally talking about the victims. They voted for the Doge cuts, so they deserted. Now, I heard she got fired, which is good, but have you heard any more about this woman? I found that so outrageous and swinish, but I only heard it once. Maybe what I heard wasn't true. What have you heard?
I didn't hear that one, but I believe that things like that happen because people have so much animosity, they'll grab anything they can to try to play the blame game and politicize it. And that really, really bothers me, whether it's on the left or on the right. I really don't appreciate people politicizing human pain and suffering to advance their own purposes or agenda.
Well, you know that old motto from Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. And they did this during COVID all over the place.
Yeah, so we have all of that. Well, I wanted to give kind of a recap of what happened in the last week and a half or so. And this happened in what we call the Texas Hill Country. Now, the devastation, the flood where it was worse, is less than 90 miles from where I live. And in fact, I have really good friends that live right there in that area in Kerrville, Kerr County. They immediately mobilized and they've been doing everything they can to help. But here's what happened. July 2nd, the Texas Division of Emergency Management activated a state emergency response because of the threat of flooding. And then on the 3rd, the National Weather Service informed followers what they're about to do and have a flood watch. We have these kind of things out here. We have tornado watches and hurricane watches. And the watch is the next step before the warning. And in this case, by July 4th, at 4:15 in the morning now, there was an official flash flood emergency. And I've read reports of rangers, park rangers, and people who are up there. And at 4 o'clock, there was nothing, a light sprinkle maybe. And within 45 minutes, the water on the Guadalupe River rose by 26 feet and by 30 feet within an hour, by 6 o'clock in the morning. That's just incredible. And I know that river. I've been on the river. I'm tubing on that river. And to think of 45 minutes, 26 to 30 feet of water rising. It's just crazy. And because it was still dark, there was no warning. People were asleep. And they do have sirens. They stepped it up a couple of years ago. They had warnings and sirens, but it was just happened so fast that many, many people could not get out of the way. And I've seen some video of it, and I mean, houses and cars were literally swept into the river, and people who were still in those houses were gone. And so it was.
Sometimes you have things in life that you just can't be prepared for.
Yeah.
And all the Monday morning quarterbacking in the world isn't going to make any difference. We might as well just reach out and try to help the people that were hurt.
Yeah, and that's the response that we should have. Now, at this point, there are officially 129 have been counted as dead. There's still 170 unaccounted for. I think that toll is going to rise as they get downstream and the crews go and clear. They can't do anything right now because it was raining again. But it's likely that the number of dead is going to at least double. I've seen some amazing stories. There was one story of a little girl. She climbed up into a tree and she was hanging on for life, and they found her and rescued her. There was another story of one of the workers at the Christian camp who went out into the river to try to save children and was lost.
Okay, we'll hear more of these rescues. I would like to hear more because I heard there were a lot of rescues, and that is not being reported on nearly enough. We'll be right back. Right. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Hi. So we're talking about this devastating flood that happened just an hour and a half from where I live. Certainly everybody in this area has been bombarded with information and just the shock of the whole thing. We're talking about the Christian camp there. It's Camp Mystic. It's a non-denominational Christian camp for girls. And so far, there have been 27 counted as dead from that camp. 5 are still missing. But here's something you might not have heard. This is not in most of the headlines that I've been reading. There were 700 evacuated from the camp.
Yeah, see, that's the story. I mean, it's just horrible, and nothing's going to ease the suffering of those who lost their loved ones. But so many people were rescued. So many things were done right. It's like back during COVID, they were listing the deaths every day. They weren't listing the recoveries and the fact that it was a 99% recovery rate. So I think that just shows the irresponsibility of the media.
Yeah, it really does, because I thought, you know, as tragic as it is, 700, and especially at that early hour when it's still not daylight.
Yeah, with such a flash flood that was so unexpected, that's incredible that they saved 700.
It is incredible, and I'm going to say this back to the opening remarks you're making. Any of the families of those people who were saved, they're sure that God was there doing everything he could. I don't doubt that there was some divine intervention involved in saving 700 people. And every time there's a tragedy like this, whether it's a hurricane or floods or fires, you hear stories of the remarkable escape from tragedy that takes place. I know many stories about the 9/11 incident. And I just saw this guy a little over a year ago who was in the Pentagon when the plane hit. And before the plane hit, he had this, I'll call it a divine impulse, to get out of his office and to head out of the building. And he immediately had that urging, that impulse, the still small voice that told him to go the other direction. He turned around and he started herding people. Everyone he saw said, follow me, get out of here. And he led all kinds of people out of the building. Moments later, the plane hit, and it hit right where his office was.
That's fantastic. Isn't it interesting that the people who always want to be skeptical, when something like that happens and you see an intervention, they don't want to give God the credit and they're fully willing to come up with some other explanation and God had nothing to do with it. But if somebody dies, oh, well, God had everything to do with it and God was in complete control. It's such hypocrisy.
Yeah, it is, but we kind of pick and choose. It's human nature, I think, to do things like that. But I just wanted to point that out because maybe in Southern California, you didn't hear about this. 700 who were saved.
I heard that a lot of people were saved. I don't remember hearing as many as 700, but that's great to hear.
Yes, and then immediately there was response. By Saturday, more than 1,000 local, state, and federal personnel were on the ground helping in the rescue operations. Many volunteers.
And Franklin Graham's team, the Samaritan group.
Yes, Samaritan's Purse was there and still are. And you know, and these things, again, when Katrina hit, years ago, I remember reading an article in a secular magazine, and of the 10 organizations that went to help the flood victims there, 7 of them were Christian organizations.
Yeah, and other stuff you won't read about in the New York Times. Also, I really like the way Trump handled it. He didn't go out there till Friday because he knew that going out there as president with all the protocol they have to do would just really get in the way of necessary rescues. And yet he couldn't wait too long because he's president and he needed to be there and to show empathy. I thought waiting till Friday, but still doing it as soon as Friday was the perfect balance.
Yeah. You know, the federal government was, compared to some of the recent tragedies, they responded fairly well, fairly efficiently and quickly. And so I'm grateful for that. There's still a lot of work to do. In fact, this morning, well, it even started last Sunday, the church that Leslie and I attend is sending relief. We're sending volunteers, and they're specifically, it's a pretty good sized church. They're asking for contractors and construction workers, people with heavy machinery equipment, to please go and help. And we're sending teams of people up there to assist in their many, many churches locally that are doing that. And I would look at that and say, that's another way that I see God working. He works through his people. Because we always hear, and there was a great, great little piece right before your show came on, asking for prayer for this situation. And we often hear this, you know, when there's a tragedy, we'll say, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And that's good. I would encourage everybody to pray. Pray for help, pray for direction and for wisdom. Pray that they find more people alive. And it's good to do that. It's part of our responsibility as believers. But the fact is, the Bible says, faith without works is dead. And so it's good to pray, but when you can, put your money where your mouth is. And literally, they're sending money to help, and you have to send it to a reputable organization, Samaritan's Purse. I can vie for them. I know Franklin. That's a place where it's safe. If you send money to help, we'll get to the people who need it. And local churches up there are doing everything they can. So it's a balance. We pray, but we also do everything in our power. In our case, at our church, men who are skilled at those things, are going up there and helping. They're taking offerings. They're doing everything they can. So I think the balanced Christian perspective is to say, yeah, we're going to pray. We're going to trust God. They need counselors and people. The grief that's going to have to be dealt with will take a while for some of these people to work through those things. It's hard enough to lose a loved one, but when it's a child and when it's through a disaster like this, it's even more complicated. So there's just a whole lot of things that will need to take place in the coming days and months to help the people in that area recover. And houses, I saw a video of houses just falling into the banks of the river, and they're gone. And someone just lost their home. It's like when you have the earthquakes out there. I remember years ago, there was devastating earthquakes in L.A., and houses were just, you know, falling off. The beams, they build them up on the hillsides, and they're gone. And it's going to take a long time to recover for some of these people. And certainly the hardest thing is to lose a loved one, to lose a life. Homes can easily be rebuilt. Cars can be replaced. If you have insurance, that helps. No doubt there will be some government aid coming in to help people there. But it's just going to be a long, long road to recovery. So I would encourage everyone listening, if you're a person of faith, please pray and don't think that those prayers are not important.
And even though it's a wonderful hope that we'll see people again in heaven, that doesn't take away from the pain and emptiness of the loss. People will be feeling that the rest of their lives. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, we will hear stories, we will hear testimonies. You might not see it in the mainstream media, but there will be stories come out of people and how they found more faith because of this, even in loss. I'm thinking about a good friend of mine who lives there in San Diego. In fact, he was the best man in our wedding, and we're very close. And they had a child that was born severely handicapped, and he only lived 21 years, which was miraculous that he lived that long. They didn't expect him to live but a couple of years, if that. And Bill told me during that whole process, he said, you know, I said, how is that affecting you in your spiritual walk? He says, you know what? My faith has grown because I've had to turn to God. And I've had to trust him no matter what. And there's a lesson in there for a mature believer. Difficulties can draw you to God. I think about King David, and he lost a baby boy. The child died. David had gone and he was fasting and praying and beseeching God to save the child's life. And his assistants came in the room, and he could tell by the look on their face that they had bad news. And he said, is the child dead? And they said, yes. And it says an amazing thing. David got up, it says, washed himself, and went in to worship. And they said, how can you do this? You just lost a child, and you're worshiping God. And David said profound words that have rung down through the centuries. He said, the boy will not come back to me, but I will go to him. And I think some of the parents of these little girls are going to walk through that. They're going to realize they're not going to get their little girl back, but someday they will go and join their child. And I have to believe that. If I don't believe that, then my faith is worthless. If there is no resurrection, we are to be pitied among all people, is what the apostles
said. Well, yeah, and when people say, where is God? They say, okay, well, so if we didn't believe in God and we believed in randomness and chance and you're never going to see these people again, does that make you feel better? Of course, it's not just about feeling better. There's all kinds of solid, rock-solid evidence that there is a God. But yes, on the emotional level, which would you rather believe? That life is chaotic or that there's a God and if you lose somebody, they're in heaven?
Yeah, we call him the God of all comfort. So I think as the months go by, there will be some powerful things that will happen in people's lives. It won't make the pain any easier, and it won't make the loss go away. But there will be, I think, for some people who turn themselves to the Lord, as King David did, I think that they will find a place of consolation, a place of comfort.
Okay. Hold on with that thought, Jim. We will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
And you know what I miss right now is the show within a show. We're not.
That's right. Brendan's not here to do the stump Jim Barrier tonight.
Well, I will be in San Diego on the 17th of next month, and I'll be in the
studio. Well, he darn well better be here then, right?
He better be. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here. And since we don't get to do Stump Jim Barrier, I'm going to brazenly plug my newest book. I just had a new book.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And it's very different from anything I've done before, because most of the ones I've done before have been, you know, kind of theological things and Bible studies. And this one is called Extra Bases, One Fan's Road Trip. And what it is my memoirs set to the backdrop of baseball stadiums. As you know, I've been to every major league ballpark. And so what I do is I visit certain ballparks, I start the chapter, and then it segues into a chapter in my life. So far, the people that have got the book have told me they really enjoyed it, but it was kind of a fun project to do. So it's on Amazon. and if you don't want to risk too much, you can get the ebook, and it's only 99 cents. So there you go. So that's my unashamed plug of my new book.
Now, is the hard copy of the book read like baseball cards? Is it cut to the size and pages of baseball cards?
No, because I did the self-publishing. I'm not much of a graphic artist, so I didn't have any. I tried to do some stuff, and I'm not that skilled at it, but it was a fun book to read. And I just talked to a lady in church this morning. She read it, and she said, one moment I'm laughing, and the next moment I'm crying, because it's kind of a warts and all depiction of my life. And everything in my life hasn't been happy and wonderful, particularly in my childhood. So I cover all of those things.
So in a way, baseball's kind of a metaphor for your life.
Yeah.
And yet you're talking about real games that you visited as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it works. And so anybody interested, take a chance. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss $5 goodbye.
Oh, I like that. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss $5 goodbye. That's great.
Yeah. So how's that for a segue? So we're going to shift gears here. In other news, this just in, the Epstein client list hung itself.
Yeah, what is going on with that? I'm a big fan of the Trump administration, but, you know, I was so disgusted when they were asking Chuck Schumer, what did he know about Biden's mental decline? And you just hear this, why are we talking about this? Let's talk about healthcare. The American people want to move on. That's such poppycock. And Trump, who has not been your typical politician, when he says, let's move on, we're doing all these wonderful things. Well, he is doing a lot of wonderful things, but they promised to get to the bottom of this, and something just doesn't seem right. And I hate saying that because I've been a big supporter of Donald Trump, but I've got to call, to use your metaphor, I've got to call the balls and strikes as I see them, and something doesn't seem right here.
Something is not right. Because just earlier this year, Pam Bondi said in a Fox News interview that the document was sitting on her desk waiting for review.
And then we heard that somebody in New York had more names and didn't want to release them. That one rang true because it sounded a lot like what the last administration did. But now this stuff about let's just move on, it's time to move on. They're either protecting somebody or somebody who wants to open this up is being threatened. I don't know what's going on, but it just, I smell a rat.
Yeah, something doesn't smell right about it. So maybe we'll know more. I don't know.
I hope they come out with a plausible explanation and do it soon, because right now it looks like the same kind of political tripe that we've come to expect from politicians. And that is such a disappointment from an administration that has been quite different up to now.
Up till now. And of course, it came just in time for the Trump haters, because they were running out of things to hate him
for. I know. If he cured cancer, they'd accuse him of genocide, because cancer is a living organism.
Yes. If he walked on water, they'd say, oh, he can't swim. So
he tried to surf without a surfboard.
So what I'd like to do, I'm like you, I think something's fishy about this and I'm disappointed, but I would like to kind of take a little bit of an account here of what has happened in the first 6 months of the president's administration, his second term. So far, here's some things that have happened. Illegal border crossings have dropped 94% just from last February.
Now, Jim, how is that possible when Biden assured us himself that the border was more secure than ever?
Yeah, well, we're not sure that Biden was actually saying the things he was saying. It's kind of, that's kind of like a
he probably thought he was talking about the border to Disneyland.
Yeah. The border is more secure than it's been in recent history. Trump restored 25% tariff on steel imports and 25% on aluminum imports. And he said he was going to have tariffs, and he's doing it. He also added a 10% tariff on imports from China. And this had a lot to do to stem the flow of illegal aliens and fentanyl, some of the illegal things coming into the country. But he's going after him, and he's using tariffs. You know, the guy's a businessman, and he knows how to get people's attention. Here's some things. This is good stuff in my book. General Electric Appliances announced just a few days ago that nearly $500 million project will create 800 new jobs and shift productions from China to a manufacturing plant in Kentucky. They're bringing jobs back to America. Now, this happened in Trump's first term, and he was on a great direction, a great path. French shipping company CGM announced $20 billion investment in U.S. shipbuilding and logistics, and that will create 10,000 new jobs. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company announced a $100 billion investment in U.S.-based semiconductor chip manufacturing. You see a pattern here? All of a sudden, foreign companies are investing in America. Clarios, a low-voltage energy storage company, announced a $6 billion plan to expand its U.S.-based manufacturing.
Okay, more on the accomplishments of Donald Trump. Hold with me, Jim, for one more segment.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and one more segment with Jim Barrier.
And by the way, that was American Woman by the Guess Who out of Canada. So see, you got
a little stump Jim Barrier in after all.
Got to do that, yeah. Now, we were talking about some of Trump's accomplishments so far, talked some of the economical things. Here's some more things, and I love this stuff. He ended the Green New Scam, I would call it. It did that immediately. He withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement.
He ended DEI.
Yeah, well, yeah.
At least he's trying to with a lot of judicial interference.
Yes, but as a result already of him pushing that, PBS closed its DEI office. Disney dropped two of its DEI programs. Goldman Sachs ended its DEI policy. And the Federal Communications Commission opened an investigation into the discriminatory DEI policies at Comcast. So when he does these things, it gets results. He shakes the tree and then things start falling. He's on the move. He signed an executive order to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. That's a huge
thing. And I'm glad we're calling it that because that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Mutilation, child abuse.
Yeah.
These people should be in jail instead of being hailed as DEI heroes.
Yeah, that's a horrific. It's just
future generations, if Western civilization survives, are going to look back in horror that our country ever did such a thing.
Yeah. He passed an executive order ending the practice of allowing men to compete in women's sports. And this resulted in the NCAA changing its rules. And now here's some of our favorite people. He established the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. We call it. And of course, Elon Musk is heading that up.
And we're hearing all these lies about Medicare being cut. Not Medicare, but Medicaid. Yeah. The only people being cut from Medicaid are people that are in the country illegally or people who could work. So most of the DOGE cuts cut out DEI and all this waste and transgender musicals in Ireland. They didn't cut anything that was necessary. That's just such a lie spun by the left.
Well, that's what they do. And by the way, DOGE has already saved tens of billions of dollars to the American taxpayers. He ordered an end to the anti-Christian bias in the federal government. Now, I'm just amazed that he's willing to call it that. We've known that. We've talked about it on the show. It's been something we've all been concerned about. But he's the first one to come out and call it what it is and say we need to put a stop to this.
And again, we've talked about this. We don't know where the man is spiritually. He may be a born-again Christian. He may not be. But he's at least protecting Christians more than any president we've ever had.
He is, and he acknowledges God. He acknowledges Jesus Christ. And so I will take that over some of the people who have been more sympathetic to Islam and atheism and other things. So he's doing some things for the Christians in this country that need to be done. And along those lines, he's ordered the end to all censorship of Americans by the federal government. And again, he's using language that everyone's tiptoed around and been afraid to say. Yes, there has been censorship. It's been horrible. It's been one-sided, lopsided, and he's trying to bring some balance and order back to the way things are done in this country. And make no mistake, Trump, his thing is make America great, America first. He's a businessman. He wants to see prosperity, but he understands that you undermine that process if you do away with the faith-based system that this government was built on. I say that without any shame. I've been to D.C. and I've read the plaques and I've read the documents and I've studied the history of the founding fathers. Folks, this country was founded by people who believed in God, and specifically people who believed in the God of the Bible, and even more specifically, people who were Christians. We've fallen so far away from that, and he is pushing back to lead us back in that direction. And I'm with you. I don't know where he is, and I don't know what his personal faith is, but I like the actions that he's
exactly
taking.
Politically, it doesn't matter. As a Christian, I care about his soul, but politically, if he's protecting our rights, that's all I can expect.
Yeah, because the truth is, probably every president, at least in my lifetime, has professed to be a believer, some Catholic, some Unity, but they all believe in God, and they wave that banner if it'll get up some votes. But he's actually been proactive.
Well, speaking of Christianity, he overturned the Johnson Amendment. That is huge. Churches can now support candidates in their services.
Yeah.
Which liberal churches were always doing anyway, I should say, but IRS never went after them.
Yeah.
The Democrats used to scream separation between church and state when we're talking about abortion. But then when they're talking about the border, they say, oh, I think Jesus would open our border. So it's perfectly fine to talk about Jesus when it's one of their pet causes that they want to falsely attach Jesus to.
Well, there's always been a double standard and likely always will be. I just like the fact that we've got somebody in the White House who's stepping up and doing things to protect people of faith and the Christian community, and it means a lot to me. He ordered an examination of all regulations to assess any infringements on American Second Amendment rights. And you know, this is a guy who's been shot at. He's been shot, but he understands the importance of the amendments and the Constitution.
Have you noticed how the rhetoric from the left has not lowered even an iota, despite the fact that they shot him? And now they're encouraging people to literally violently go after ICE agents.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the ones always lecturing conservatives on toning down the rhetoric. January 6th was the most existential threat to our democracy the country ever had. And yet they're literally telling people to go out and break the law.
Yeah, and burn buildings and do violence. Yeah, it's such double standard. There's so much hypocrisy in that. By the way, he granted full unconditional pardon to 23 pro-life Americans who were unjustly persecuted.
Yeah, including a grandmother that was just praying outside an abortion clinic. That's all she was doing, praying.
Yeah, and he sees that this is unjust, and he's doing everything he can to correct those injustices. This is crazy. I love it. He made it the official policy of the U.S. government that there are only two sexes.
Yeah, you wouldn't think we'd have to make that a policy or that would be anything controversial, would you? But those are the times we live in.
Well, there was about a four-year span when that wasn't what people were saying. Prior to that, everybody knows, you know, I mean, all through pop culture, man, look at the movies, listen to the songs, everybody knows that there are two genders.
Everybody knew the emperor didn't have any clothes on either, but nobody wanted to say anything.
Well, he's saying and doing. He ordered the federal government to return to merit-based hiring. He's brought the military recruitment to the highest number in decades. And the one last thing I want to talk about, he established the Make America Healthy Again Commission just hours after RFK Jr. was confirmed as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And he's shaking some things up. Oh, by the way, he also established the White House Faith Office to protect American religious liberty. So he's only halfway through his first year of this second term.
Yeah, 6 months, and look what he's already done.
Don't stop now, Mr. President. We're with you.
Yeah, I just hope they find a way to deal with this Epstein thing and put that behind them to people's satisfaction, honest satisfaction, so that that doesn't derail all these wonderful accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Okay, Jim, it's always great having you on, and I'm really looking forward to having you here in person next month.
Next month on the 17th, I'll be in San Diego, and boy, am I looking forward to that.
All right.
That's I'm going to get some Mexican food.
All right. Always a treat to see you. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.